If you've got your Bibles, could you turn to Matthew 3? And we're going to look at just a section from there for a few minutes this morning. So Matthew 3, this is what it says. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, "Prepare the way for the Lord, make straight paths for him." John's clothes were made of camel hair, and he had a leather belt around his waist. His food was locusts and wild honey. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of the Jordan. Confessing their sins, they were baptized by him in the river Jordan. I'll read on. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think you can say to yourself, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones God will raise up the children of Abraham. The axe has been laid to the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear his threshing floor, gathering his wheat into the barn and burning up the chaff with unquenchable fire." I really just want to focus on one little phrase that we've just read there, back in verse 2. And it says, and saying this, this is what it says, "Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near." Repent, for the kingdom of God has come near. I was super organized this week. I had the whole preaching plan for the summer ready. I'd got people lined up to do little sort of 10 minutes reflections on different parts of predominantly the New Testament, a series called the Prayers of the Apostles. And we were going to look at some of the amazing apostolic prayers of the New Testament. And everything was in place. And I started asking people to do stuff. I even got one of the talks done. Catherine Cutler was super organized and had it done almost straight away. It was brilliant, and it's really good what she's done. But then the Lord said to me, "This is not the time." And I really felt I had no peace to kind of really launch into this and get it all sort of released out there for you all to start, because we had a reading plan and everything around it. And I just had no peace. And I had no peace until I stopped it and delayed it. So we will be doing it, but we're going to start in September. And what I really feel the Lord was saying is that he wanted to create some time and some space to prepare for that series. And I think it's linked to the sermon I brought the other day about arise and these principles. Again, we'll come back to that at the end. I think the Lord wants us to do some preparation. That the phrase I had in my mind is, he wants us to get our ducks lined up, to not rush on ahead. We've got to do some stuff before we start launching into this series about the prayers of the apostles and start really trying to embed these principles that we looked at the other day. All those principles and this and that series is about the nearness of the kingdom of God. It's about embracing and experiencing and advancing the kingdom. But when John the Baptist announced this, when he said the kingdom of God is near, he preceded it with a word. And this is the word I want us to think about today. His announcement was preceded by the word repent. He said, "Repent, for the kingdom of God is near. I don't think the Lord wants us to rush on. He doesn't want us to go headlong in to this new kind of series until we've spent time thinking about the power and the importance of repentance. I think over the next few weeks, he doesn't just want us to talk or think about repentance. I think he wants us to repent. He wants us to really take hold of those things in our lives that are not as they should be. Those things that we've embraced and adopted and become very normal and natural parts of who we are, but they're not his plan and is not his purpose for us. And I think what he wants to do is he wants to highlight these things and take us on a bit of journey of freedom and release. So we're going to think about repentance today and some other stuff over the next few weeks. Stuff that is not always hard, not always easy to look at. It's kind of hard and challenging. But we prayed this morning, and we were praying that as we look at this issue today, repentance, we're going to look at things like idolatry, we're going to look at things like sin. I don't want us to look at them with sort of kind of a weighty sort of gloom. You know, I want to say that as we embrace these things, as we understand the importance of being free from them, they can be doorways into an increase in experience of the kingdom in our lives. So we should relish the thought of looking at these things, be excited about what they can unleash within us. So I want to think about repentance today. You know, during this time of coronavirus, there's been a lot of talk about kind of, you know, what God is doing. You know, there are some in the church, broad the church wider, that believe that coronavirus is God's judgment on the world or God's judgment on the church. Now, I don't see it that way, but what I do see, and this is my take on it, is that what we're living with, and I think coronavirus is part of this, is humanity living with almost the results of its kind of actions, turning its back on God, doing stuff and developing in a way that maybe is not in according with to his best, his will and his purpose for us. And that's got consequences and implications. And I really would long for the sort of worldwide repentance, if you like. And I think we are kind of seeing in the midst of this trouble and hardship, we have seen many people asking deeper and important questions, and that's good. But what about for us as a church? Well, I think this time and the whole COVID coronavirus thing is making us look at the church. I mean, we were looking at it anyway, weren't we? We were asking big questions about our direction, you know, what we should be about, how we should be, you know, fulfilling our God-given calling. We were asking these questions. But I think what the coronavirus has done, as we kind of reflected a little bit on last week, is it's made the church think about its shape, its focus. And I think there is a need for a repenting in the midst of this. You know, the church kind of has become very kind of consumerist, if you like. It's become very sort of focused around Sundays, and it's that Sunday is the be all and end all, if you like. And God says, I'm not sure that I ever intended it to be this way. And so these are sort of like what's fueling some of the questions that we're asking about how we go forward and what is our part and our place in there. But I think repentance is part of that, because repentance is recognizing that things aren't as they should be, and a turning and a seeking for things to become as they should be. And I want us to think about this week and in the weeks to come. You know, we started this new reading plan, and I have to say, I wasn't planning on doing this. I had another reading plan all set out, and it was great, and it will be great when we do it in September. But hastily this week, we said, okay, Lord, what do you want us to read then over the next few weeks? For those of you who want to follow the church-wide reading plan, and we're looking at this series from the second part of Isaiah, and we're calling it Land of Hope and Glory. And in that first day, on that first day, on Thursday, we read from Isaiah 40, and it's so interesting how these things come together. God is good, isn't he? He knows what he's doing. So Thursday's reading, Isaiah 40, says this, verse 3, a voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low, and rough ground shall become level, and rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. I mean, I love the way that, the way this has just come together in terms of what we're looking at Sunday, today, and then how that came up in the week. But I want you to hold that picture of the Lord kind of making the pathways straight. It talks about mountains being lowered, rough paths made smooth, and it talks about valleys being raised up. Keep that in mind as we just look for a moment or two about repentance. I heard somebody talking recently about, I think it was an architect in America, and they was building a university, and they had all their drawings done, and then they built this university, and when it came to it, all the staff from the university came to look around the new building, and the first thing they noticed was that there were no paths. There were no paths. So basically, they just had the building, but no pathways in and out of the building. And what the architect said was, I just want you to wait. And so what they did is they opened up the university and the students started coming. And what the students do is they would find the natural path of least resistance in and out of the building. And after a few weeks, once the students had done all their walking in and out, that's when they put the paths in. Because it was the natural and the easy path to walk. They were walking the pathways of least resistance. You know, I believe we all do this in life. We walk the pathways of least resistance. Let me try and explain. This week, I just did something to my neck. And it really hurt. And it's been hurting all week. And I've been walking around trying not to move it in such a way that would cause me pain. And I think we're like that in life sometimes. Sometimes we avoid the things that might be a little difficult. We avoid the things that might cause us a little bit of pain. Think about conflict. And I know I do this. I avoid potential conflict situations because I don't want to have the difficult situation. Those are just two examples of the way we try and kind of avoid pain. And I think that's common in us all. But think about some of the other pathways, the well-trodden pathways, the pathways of least resistance that we can easily walk, because to walk another pathway is sometimes difficult. About things like, and I've just listed a few. Sometimes we easily walk the pathway of unbelief because the pathway of faith and belief is difficult. It actually stretches us. It means we have to step out and do something that might be difficult and hard. I think we particularly experience that sometimes, some of us, not all of us, when it comes to healing. We try and kind of take the easy path, which is actually sometimes not to pray. Because sometimes to pray involves stepping outside of our comfort zone, putting our faith on the line, particularly when we're out and with folks who don't know the Lord. I have to say, sometimes we hear testimonies of healing. And sometimes as we're hearing it, unbelief can come and start knocking at the door of our lives. I want to really encourage us to sort of banish that unbelief and try and take hold of faith, even though sometimes it takes us beyond that well-worn path that we can easily tread. So what about judging? You know, sometimes our default position is making judgments about other people. That's the well-worn path that we often walk. Spiritual pride. Self-loathing. false humility. I love what Mel was talking about in terms of true humility. Meekness. What about false beliefs? Some of the things that we're just automatically just walking these paths. And because it's harder to not walk in than to walk in, that becomes our default position. Disappointment. Disobedience. Sometimes we walk in that path of easily taking offense because that's the path we've walked. What about just resignation to things? Fear. Cynicism. I mean, there's all sorts of things that we could talk about here. But I want to say many of these things are just well-trodden pathways of least resistance, because to step off that pathway is hard. And I think, you know, we've got to remember that we're in a battle. There is the enemy of our souls. And what he comes along is when we start walking these pathways and we start treading this path, what he comes along is he builds a nice, smooth path for us to walk, like at that university. It becomes the easy path which we walk. I want us, and I believe that we can break free from these things. And it starts with repentance. It starts with repentance. You know, we often define repentance as a turning from what we know to be wrong, from sin in our lives. And I think that's absolutely true. There does need to be a turning from the wrong things in our lives, a lamenting over the impact that they have, and also I think a recognition that they can grieve the Holy Spirit in our lives. And there does need to be a lamenting, a sadness over these things. But there is so much more to this word repenting. That's a part of it, an important part of it, a crucial part of it. But there is so much more to it. Repentance means to change one's mind, to change the way we think. And it's really important. Another aspect is it's to change one's mind, and then it's about a disposition towards God. You know, it's about turning to him. So it's so important. It's not just about what we turn away from, it's about what we're turning to. You know, I was thinking about the prodigal son. You know, he turned away from the life in the pigsty. But what did he turn to? He turned to his father. And what did he find? He found his father waiting for him, longing for him to come home so he could embrace him and put his arms around him. That's just such a beautiful, beautiful picture of repentance and restoration. Paul says this in Romans. He says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, when we change the way we think, it changes the way we act. It changes the pathway that we find ourselves on. You know, we've already talked about the battle that is raging, haven't we? We've talked about the battle that is raging for us. Because, you know, what the enemy wants is he wants us to keep walking those really smooth paths. And what repentance does is it takes us off those paths and it puts us on another pathway. And it's a pathway that I believe that leads us to life in its fullness, to our destiny in Christ, to transformation. And transformation not just in us, but through us. As we, his scattered servants, seek to see his kingdom come wherever we are placed and put. But you know, the enemy doesn't want us to walk that path. He wants to hold us in a place of walking those easy paths into patterns of thinking and behavior and actions that we've just gone with for years and years and years. We don't need to do that. The battle comes when we set off on those pathways and it feels like there's obstacles. It feels like the obstacles are there to walk into this new way of being. But remember what we read in Isaiah. That the Lord will make that pathway smooth for us. We need to step into it. We need to step onto it. And that starts with repentance. It starts with recognizing our need to turn and to change the way we think and set off on this new journey. And I believe the Lord will make that path straight for us. It might not seem like it at the start. It might seem like there's a mountain to climb or a valley to navigate and go through. But I just believe in the words of Isaiah. He will make straight paths for us. And I think the more we walk it, the more familiar it comes. The more we walk it, the more familiar it comes. It becomes the straight path before us. There'll be other paths and other battles to fight, but the more we walk it, the more the straighter the path becomes. So I want us to really think about this over the next few weeks. You know, we've got about a month before we start our next series, and I want us to think about what are the areas where maybe in our lives we've started walking these paths and it's become a very smooth and a very natural part of who we are, but it's not God's best for us. And he wants to see, and we want to see transformation and change. We want to turn. So we want that sort of lament and that sadness over it, but we want to turn to him so that we can walk into that kind of greater encounter and experience of abiding with him and living for him. You know, a few weeks ago, we presented these sort of five principles around the word arise. And I want you to think about each one of these. And I want you to think about whether there's a particular area where you kind of, you're not walking fully as you should in one of these areas. Let me just remind you about the advancing kingdom. You know, the advancing kingdom. And maybe you're just feeling a bit static. And you can't, have you even got a vision to see that there is more? There's more. There's always more of God for you in your life, but through you into your community. So maybe you feel a bit static. I don't know. Just meditate on what an advancing kingdom looks like for you and what your part and place is in it. Or your restored identity. Remember we talked about we're sons and daughters of the living God. We're sons and daughters of the King, which makes us royalty. We have an authority as children of the living God. And maybe there's an area of your identity in Christ that you're just struggling with, and you may be settled for something lesser, but God wants to give you more. What about the next one? Inside out living. Living from the transformed, renewed part of us. You know, his spirit within, rather than living from the outside in, the world, the flesh and the devil, these things that so easily govern us. Is there one thing that God wants to see and lead you into greater freedom? You've become comfortable walking that path, but he wants to go and take you in a different direction. What about servants of all? I think, Mel, you said this so beautifully. You know, humbly serving the one before us. Maybe you're struggling with that. Maybe a situation, a person, there's that person you're struggling with. Maybe there's become you've settled for something. And maybe you've just written off that relationship and said, this is the way it's always going to be. And maybe you need to start bringing this before the Lord and say, okay, there's a new pathway to walk here. And being empowered by the Spirit. Being empowered by the Spirit. Maybe you've just, I don't know, just think and pray about what your response to that may be. Maybe you've put the Holy Spirit in a box and you've restricted him and he said it's not for me. Or you've limited and actually he wants to really invade and envelop your whole life and lead you. So just summer, I just ask you, meditate on those. And if there's areas that you need to repent, that you need to change your gaze, change the direction, the trajectory of your travel with regard to one aspect of it. Will you do that over the coming few weeks? It's going to be more than today. You can't just say, well, I think sometimes God does things in the instant, but sometimes we're undoing things that have been picked up over many years. So it's going to take a little bit of time, daily bringing it before the Lord, meditating upon him, who he is, and bringing that to bear on this thing that we've believed about ourselves, or we've kind of adopted for ourselves. So I really want to encourage you to do that as we think about repentance in the coming weeks. I really do believe that the Lord has put this before us. And before we go rushing on, we've got to spend time thinking about repentance. We're always going to come back to it. It's not a one-off. We are always going to be coming back to it. But would you do that? Would you just for a moment now, just hold those five principles before you in your mind. Advancing kingdom, restored identity, living from the inside out, servants of all, humbly serving all, and empowered by the Spirit. And let's just ask the Holy Spirit just to come and give you a bit of revelation, a vision of areas in which he wants you to move forward. Maybe some pathways that you've been walking very easy and very naturally, but they're not God's best for you. And he wants you to change your direction. Step out on another path. Pathway that leads to life in all its fullness. So just repent over it now. Just say, sorry, Lord. Recognize the grief within you over that. But don't stay there. Be excited about what can be. This is one of the things that God gives us to lead us into life, repentance. And we take hold of it now. We take hold of it for the church. Lord, we're excited about what could be. Fill us, Lord, with excitement, anticipation, because your kingdom is an advancing kingdom. We're not holding the fort right now. We're preparing to move forward. We are moving forward. And we want to go forward more and more and more to see your kingdom come.